Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello, everybody. We are so very, very happy to be with you today. And we're starting to head into the holiday season as we do this pre-record. Perhaps you hear this after the holiday season. And either way, we wish you a wonderful 2009 coming up. It should be wonderful. Every indicator is there that so much of the things that we have been concerned about are, in fact, being totally written out of the possible futures. On our blog, we have two entries about prophecy of 2009, and the one we have translated, thanks to our beautiful sister Natalia in Denmark, into Russian and Danish, and I believe French, and possibly even German. I'm not sure if our German sister did translate it, but so it's well worth taking a look at. We found that people from all over the world were accessing it, so we started to translate it. It's on our blog, and Rogier, how do they get to the blog, please?
Well, there's just a link on the Spiritual Journeys website, so that should be easy enough, but the blog address is almeen.typepad.com.
Okay, and unfortunately, I may have to ask you to speak up for our program today for just a bit. Your voice is very soft. So my brothers and sisters, he's with us because he's got some questions that he wants to ask me, and then we'll take a look at that. Rogier, why don't you ask your questions first? And then the other thing that came in this morning, that if you can remind me, because I get sidetracked and then I forget about things, but we had questions regarding affluence as well as diet. So, you know, we either could start with those two or we could start with yours. What would you like to do?
Let's start with mine. I have a sort of an email here, and what I think essentially what it boils down to is a twofold question regarding all the information that is coming through from you, light workers, and then in relation to the rest of humanity. First of all, the first point would be how to sort of deal with this situation that there's all this information coming through, yet many light workers find themselves in a position of having no one really to share this with. And secondly, how to deal with the situation that this person says she also always kind of saw herself as, or the role of light workers as being those who would sort of get the information and then sort of pass it on until the rest of humanity. But really what she's finding is that the more, you know, the quote-unquote, the rest of humanity is presented with this kind of information, the more they shut down. And she suspects that has to do with some kind of artificial intelligence programming. But the point is, you know, what to do with the loneliness and what to do with the loneliness, not having anyone to share the information, and what to do with the fact that humanity or people in general just seem to sort of reject this kind of information the more they are presented with it.
Okay, well, let's tackle that one from the top down. And do you think that she is listening to our pre-record? Were you able to let her know that?
Yeah, I was, but I wasn't sure if she was going to hear it in time, but I said that when the show would air, that she would be able to distill it from the description. So.
Okay, well, the other thing, too, is that if you ask our station manager, he can give you the exact air date for this one. Then you can let her know this is the date it airs and this is the time and so on. So, but let's tackle that from the top down. My brothers and sisters, information is pouring through the light workers. Some are starting to speak tongues. Some are starting to write writing pages and pages and pages of it poured through my fax day by day. And finally, I have urged those who have been in pod with me that they go the next level, because for me, it's easier just to receive something than to sit down and translate languages I've never seen before, to the tune of 40 pages a day. So it's the interpretation of those things that we are receiving that is the next step. So even though initially you're just receiving it, go ahead and be patient with that. Just receive it. If it's in tongues and languages and so on, just keep receiving it. But every time that happens, if you will say to yourself, what is the feeling I'm getting about this transmission? What am I intuiting it's speaking of? And truly empty your mind. Because the bottleneck is not the receiving of stuff. The bottleneck is the interpretation of stuff. So now, number two point is that if you can possibly keep up with us with the blog. See, we're doing Twitter, and it was just really another way for us to hold hands as a light family, and the loneliness comes when you are way out of what they call the bell-shaped curve, way on the leading edge of things, and there's nobody else to talk to because the air is thin where eagles fly. So the Twitter, which is very kindly done by Rogier, because I'm not even computer literate, but as I go through my day, a couple of times a day, he gets the info of what I'm doing. We take little photos, things like that. So it's a way to hold hands. But we found that the insignificant, seemingly, entries into Twitter actually end up being signs about big themes that develop within 12 to 24 hours. So I might write about, my gosh, all my Christmas ornaments are falling off. Why are they doing this? People didn't put them on properly. And then the next day I might recognize that something keeps falling down in the cosmos because there was some inherent principle that then the mother puts in place, and now things are a little more solid. So if you stay abreast with us with the diary has the cutting-edge daily insights, the blog. Then you will be able to translate some of the things that you found pursuant to, aha, this is what is happening. But be aware that some of those things are also just for you. And they're for you to find areas in your life where it can become more functional and enlightened. So the translation is the second point. The blog helps you to see trends so you can plug your translations into the cutting-edge trends. And if you are one of the major light workers on Earth, which generally the audiences that listen to me are, your information is going to be pertinent. So that's point number two. Then point number three is this. There is a whole tremendous global family happening all over the world. Germany, Paris, Slovenia, Australia, I mean Tasmania. We've got all these people communicating to us, but with through each other. In other words, the oracles and they are communicating like day by day, multiple times. They are getting insights, sharing it with one another. But we have thousands of students, and then we've got the pod members. And sometimes people say, but I don't have the leave to go, you know, to pods, but I want to be part of this network. You can, but they don't know who you are. When we go through 5 days in pod, believe me, by the end of that pod, the hearts have been so opened, the group mind has been so incredible during the week that they're bonded. They feel like they're family for life. You know, I had my beautiful Shelley, the oracle in Toronto, say to me, Almeen, she looked a little guilty. She said, I mean, this is my family. I value them as much and more as my own family. It's exactly how it happens, and it's what I meant for it to happen. Because I could see how lonely people were for years. I didn't meet another light worker. And then in 94, I started to, you know, have people have spontaneous healings around me. And so then they came to me for more, and I started to work on people for free for years, and then started to create this into my life, which had to produce an income. But my point that I'm trying to make is this. Come to pod. Once you've come to pod, you belong to an order if you wish. If you don't wish, that's fine too. The orders are there to serve you. You're not there to serve the orders. But like the order of the blue light, the order of the unicorns, the order of this or that. The family units. And they cross-pollinate. They go to all the other orders, and now their family becomes bigger. So then people say to me, okay, but I don't have leave. Yes, but look at where you spent the leave you do have. Because it is a matter of priorities. Everybody wants in at the tippy top, but you know, the dedication of taking the trouble to get to know those people that are your fellow eagles. It's a question of where do you choose to spend the 1 or 2 or 3 weeks vacation. Then people say, I can't afford it. My brothers and sisters, if you bring 10 people to a pod, you have another free pod. So you have a free pod. Or you can do it better. You can actually facilitate something. You facilitate. We need a net of so much, you know, and the net is just that you'd arrange, whether it's in your front room or in your local church hall or whatever. That's all you're responsible for. And we need X number of dollars per pod, depending on the distance I have to travel. But if you have one pod, you have another free pod. And the one you're organizing is free. So you organize one as free, you have one free one to come. If you give 2 pods a year, then you have 2 pods free. There absolutely is a way to get free pods. We have people that say, we can afford this much a month. If they flat out just pay us that much a month, we tell them how many pods they can go through, and if they're really upfront with us and show us, you know, that this is the best I can do. I have people that are on retirement that have hardly anything. You know, but for 150 is all they can afford without taking food out of their mouths. But they're dedicated enough to pay that every month. You know what? If I can, I give them my frequent flyer miles. And they come whenever they can. We do whatever we can. We put them in a house with other people, you know, or something like that. So my brothers and sisters, how dedicated are you? Because it takes effort from your side to cultivate such a blessing. As the masters that are a family, I'm speaking right now, and on my, you know, listening to us is there's 4 brothers and sisters that are gathered in New York. They're on their way here. I think Montu and my beloved brother Matthew and Jennifer and Hong An, they're all gathered in New York. They're listening to this. They're on their way here. They're as close as brothers and sisters. So it takes some effort. Everybody wants to give their 2 cents worth, but we can't do that. So here now I'd like you to actually discuss with them the forum that's up and coming, because it seems to me that that might be another opportunity.
Well, we are creating this forum, which I think should be live later this month.
Could you speak up just a little? Your line is very soft.
I'm not sure what this is. I mean, there's nothing new on the line here, so I don't know why.
Your lines are not the same from day to day. Don't worry about it, but just a little louder, please.
Okay, so we have this forum that's going live later in the month, and it's going to start out as a private forum, at least insofar as you will register, and it will not be automatic, in that it's primarily for students. And the hope is that this will provide some sort of sense of community for light workers or students of your work. You know, it actually also reminds me of something I would want to ask, because, you know, is a few weeks pod in the year going to resolve this issue of loneliness? I mean, I've had one master say to me that she just wasn't sure if she wanted to come to pod so soon again, because you know, when it would be great, then the crash afterwards of coming home again and just the contrast with the so-called real world was just a bit too much as well. So, I mean, that's, first of all, you've got the issue, well, is a few weeks in the year being in this community really going to, I mean, it would be preferable to be able to access it much more of the time. And secondly, you know, what to do with the contrast in worlds, and I guess that kind of comes back to the second part of the original question, which is, you know, how to deal with the fact that you see yourself as kind of having an educating function for other people, yet people primarily just reject you when you try to sort of pass on new ideas and new teachings to them.
Well, I think that those are marvelous questions, Rogier. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll answer each and every one of those. They're great.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
So, just to go back to some questions that Rogier is asking me about this issue of feeling that you want to teach but nobody wants to listen. The dynamics have changed about that literally overnight. So, first of all, teaching is different. Teaching is that we change ourselves and we change others. It's the wonderful, wonderful principle of autonomy. One mind, one heart. We tap into the unified heart field. We don't need to teach. If we change within, they'll come looking. So the need to teach has changed in the way that it looks. Last night, we had an extraordinary event happen where the mother said, and it's fascinating, see, because now look at how, here, this issue of Twitter, we put a little tiny thing on Twitter, but it ends up being a cosmic trend that we tapped into. You know, I said yesterday, that's very strange to me. We've got these private videos, is what they're called, I think hidden videos, but really what they just are, it's not that they're hidden, it's just that they are for people familiar with my terminology. So they're for people that have read books, and then we just give them the pass, and, you know, if they want to bring a friend that hasn't read a book, that's fine, but at least they can explain what I'm saying, because otherwise, if I speak only to the general audience, I have to keep explaining every term that's already in a book. So it's for students. That's the only reason why it was hidden. And student doesn't mean you have to have come to a pod. So my brothers and sisters, that's number one. And then I said, you know, how strange. People are not actually making use of this. And I figured last night that it's taken us a minimum of 50 hours to produce that in my life, where, you know, I can hardly find time for myself. 50 hours is a lot of time for us to only have 150 people signed up. So I'm really sort of giving this a month or so more, and if by then we have not gained at least another 150 people, it's not worth the effort for me. But the point was, you know, is that sometimes when things are free and it's available and it's just sitting there, or you're so willing to share or you're so willing to teach, people don't see the value of it. And so the bottom line of it is that if in a month, by the end of December 08, when, you know, I don't know when this will be airing, but if we don't have an extra 150 people up, we take it off. And I will make for the general public some, but not any longer for the students. And the students' information was supposed to be sort of cutting edge. And then last night, the Infinite Mother said, I'm no longer spoon-feeding the cosmos. The theme of do your own work has been so prevalent. Last night, the mother, see, we spoke at, in the last pod, sorry, not the last pod, the last broadcast that we did, we spoke about the fact that infinite life is like a book with multiple pages, and that the page on which there is illustration, formed life, is but one of them. We're on that page. The infinite has confined herself. If you read today's blog entry, you will see what I mean by this. The infinite has confined, and I say herself because there isn't a word for an androgynous being without calling it an it, which is just so disrespectful when you're speaking about the infinite. But the mother, so let's just use the feminine, the mother has in fact said that she will no longer reside. She's been confining herself to one page of the book in terms of focus. She will no longer be confined to any particular page. She will put focus and emphasis on our page, the next page, and the next page. And you will understand why if you read the blog, because that's where we have received the ability to see that light. But she's decided, you know, she is unequivocally stated that she will no longer do our work for us. Because before, she would see a flaw in the cosmos, she would change it within, the flaw would fix. But we are now made from the infinite being. And we're real. We're out of the dream. It's just time to grow up. So teaching students has changed. Self-work is the greatest teaching mechanism that you can do, because everybody you meet in your world changes when you do, and those you don't meet. Now, there was another question here. What was that about again? I said I was going to answer each and every question.
Well, we were
the loneliness.
Really, yeah.
The loneliness,
and how,
that's
and
what
if,
it was.
And whether a few weeks pod in the year is going to kind
yes,
of solve
correct.
That.
Okay, well, that let's tackle that next. My brothers and sisters, for absolute years, before Ruchir moved here from Amsterdam, he is our video person. We're having an audio person move here from Amsterdam. That is actually arriving by the time this airs. He will be here. So we'll have our totally audio studio. Our goal is to put our books on audio. And we have total video in-house here assistance. So this is magnificent. But until Ruchir came, which is two Septembers ago, I hurt every time I let pod members out that door, because they would be in heaven for a week. They would find a place where anything can be voiced, anything in a loving, supportive environment can be examined. Big shadows in their life became little through perception and eventually disappeared. Tears flowed, hugs were given, you know, the wonderful fun we have together. And then they'd leave here, and I could feel it was like a ton of bricks in their face. The Polish master, Peter Ostas, has said that, you know, he couldn't bring himself to leave. He was circling round and round and round my block. He felt if he could just take something from the house with him, but he was too embarrassed to ask me because it was like a lifeline to him. And I hurt to show them heaven and then turn them back out, because I could feel them as they went up the road like a tearing happen. So my brothers and sisters, thanks to Ruchir, because, see, I don't even know how to switch on a computer. All my books are handwritten. thanks to Rogier, we have our blog. Now, thanks to Jan, who types that blog, the March of Jan from Ohio. Oh, my gosh, what finesse she brings to that product. And Rogier has done painstakingly the multiple free videos that are available. Every day, he makes multiple entries into the Twitter. All of these things are due to his assistance. But what it does is it helps me hold hands with you day by day by day. If something massive happens, it's on the blog before anyone else even knows it. And, you know, and then there might be bits of it that you have questions about, and then those questions get answered on our general email list. But that's my solution to it. Because then also, if you have the forum or you have pods, those people start communicating to each other. Because now they have really good interpretive skills. Most pods call one another every Sunday night. In between, there are emails going back and forth every day. You're no longer alone, and you're not with the turkeys. You're flying with the eagles. There's nothing wrong to be a turkey, but the viewpoint is different. You've seen this. And so we have the very best thing that we can have. And my brothers and sisters, you are always welcome to help us think of more things if you're going to help produce them. I mean, the Unicorn Pod and the Ohio Serpent Mound Pod and the Irish Pod, all of them have done major free products. We're just, from the love of their heart, they just did it for us. We have a glossary of terms that's going to come online relatively soon. That's been entirely done. It's ready. I just, you know, have to find somebody to put it up. But the Unicorn Pod typed huge numbers of man hours. They've done, of all the magical spells, they've done a synopsis. So that if you want to know about Immaculate Conception, bing, this is where you go, and there's where it is. So you can access it. We just need someone to put it up. But it's volunteer work like that that brings us as a light family even closer, and that takes away the loneliness. Rogier, we have a break again, and then we'll see what next you have for us to talk about when we come back.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So we have some more questions in line for you, so please don't go away. And also, folks, please tell your friends about us. It makes me very happy when our numbers grow and we see that you're enjoying our archives, because You know, we do put a great deal of effort into doing the very best we can for things that you want to know. So, Ruhir, what else do you have that we need to answer?
Something you said about how teaching has changed made me wonder, well, what then is to be made of the impulse to teach that we may have, or that particularly light workers may have? You know, the impulse to be sharing and to tell people what's happening and that kind of thing.
Okay, it needs actually to be looked at very carefully. Let's take a look at that impulse. You see, the part of the dream that appraised getting ahead in by doingness, getting ahead by knowledge, which is light, and that changes people, and so they become more enlightened, a worthy goal, but it's changed. I am with some trepidation looking at my part that is next week, because I simply know that my giving and giving and giving of the information to the way that it was before, it can't be done anymore. We're going to have to do it entirely differently. I have not a clue what's coming. I've tried to change it at least 3 parts, and Mother has said it's not changed enough. It's not changed enough. 3 parts now. And so finally, when she's drawn the line in the sand, she has said, this part, you cannot teach. So I have people coming. We have, I think, 36 people, because our beautiful master, Denisa, might not be able to make it. But we've got 36 or 37 people now coming. And 37 people for 5 days, and I'm not supposed to be teaching. This is telling us something. So this filling with information so that through perception we can change people, it's altering. We find deep, wondrous things within. We remove any illusions that stand in the way of our heart singing, and all the world changes. Let me alter Buddha's words a little bit, okay? Buddha said that 5 seconds of unconditional love is more than 1,000 bowls of food for the poor. So let me say it this way. 5 seconds of unconditional love for the self is more than 1,000 students that you stand for hours lecturing in terms of the good that it does for the planet. So that is the point that I'm trying to make. And we cannot have self-love until we have self-knowledge. So my advice is that we take the impulse to teach and we make it instead an impulse to discover. And all discovery of life is actually self-discovery.
Well, that's interesting then, isn't it? Because we could say that the impulse to teach, i.e. through perception, is indicative of being overpolarized into the electric.
You're perfectly correct. Exactly my point. Because that's, you know, we've valued that in the past. That's what I've done. And now it has to totally change.
But what I find interesting about that as well is because in the letter that I received, which I've been sort of drawing the initial questions from, you know, this person, you know, is generally wondering about, you know, what is, if there is some kind of artificial programming which, you know, prevents people from wanting to sort of, you know, hear this kind of thing, and I'm referring to, you know, non-light workers here. But this reaction from people could therefore also maybe be seen as simply being indicative of, you know, the whole idea of teaching having to change, and that perhaps, you know, this overpolarizing into this idea of perception and the electric is itself indicative of some kind of programming.
I so understand where she's coming from. Okay, because there have been times I've gone bang, bang, bang with my head against the wall during the break because for 1 week I've been standing there, and then somebody goes back to the old paradigm and says, by the way, I have to leave because it's the Sabbath or something, right? I've had this. In South Africa, people didn't want to have class on a certain day because it was their Sabbath. You know, if we're going to fly higher, we cannot be bound by those old ways. So there's been times that I've been going bang, 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 it was my head against the wall. But over the years, I have understood one thing well. No matter what you do, some will understand and some will not. And it isn't the old programming, it's that we're not a flat line. There are some little stars in the sky, there are some big stars in the sky, and then there are some suns in the sky. And if the sun tries to speak to the little tiny dots of light in the sky, it's too much. Thank you, but not yet. I'm growing at my own pace. It is not okay for us to be invested in outcome. Wanting to persuade is the last thing that any teacher should be doing. And if we're saying nobody wants to listen, you know, what's wrong with them? That is an agenda. And it is the need to persuade. That is exactly the time you shouldn't be teaching, and we should come home to ourselves.
Okay, well said. Now, I don't know if you have anything to say about this. I think we're done on this topic, right?
Yes, unless you want to go deeper, I'm fine. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been looking. Oh, actually, wait, there is one thing which, in light of synchronicity, might be interesting. See, towards the end of the letter that I received, she also writes, she actually uses a metaphor. So without the metaphor, she says, every new day, or every day, new information arrives, and I have no one except non-humans to share it with. Okay, but that's kind of what she's saying, because what she really wrote is every day new toys arrive and I have no one except non-humans to share them with, which I thought was kind of interesting to be using the word toys since yesterday.
No, I think that she may be meaning toys, because I recently had somebody in my Irish pod, and I felt at the time that it was really disrespectful. But I realized, because it was standing out on the horizon, and because it happened, and this is a very beautiful, respectful sister, that there was a reason why something that jarred would be there, and there were some insights to be made.
Well,
we
no,
are
in
providing...
The, wait, in parentheses, it says info behind toys.
Yes. The info toys, as the sister called it, the info toys is the techniques that we've been giving, and they're on our websites. But the techniques that we've been given on our websites, even though you can call them informational, and they're not toys, they are powerful beyond belief. They are tools. My brothers and sisters, if we are the major way showers of the world, we may use them, we may not, but at the same time, when the sun is trying to speak to the little star, oftentimes a teaching tool is needed. A vehicle is needed. Or, not to demean these tools at all, because they're not toys. They are powerful restoration to man of self-empowerment. If our goal as teachers is to self-empower humanity, and we can incorporate those deep principles into our life, we are restoring humanity to their original state as the firstborn of the infinite, which happened in the dream. Humanity is the cradle of civilization. I've said this multiple times for all other races. We're restoring their birthright. There's nothing toys about that. And in addition, now, you know, I understand that this information is pouring forth.
I was actually just referring to your statement in passing yesterday, the cosmos has too many toys, that's all. I'm not sure what, nothing else, but anyway, that's what I found synchronous about it, but... that was all.
Right. But meaning too many toys, meaning too many choices.
Yeah.
Like a child that has too many toys. because we were speaking about the videos for the student group. Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to say that I have dozens and dozens of students around the world where information is pouring into each day. There is no important work, my brothers and sisters. There's not even self-work. What there is self-exploration in a joyous adventure of discovery. That's all that there is. Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Well, we're in our final quarter of our show. What would you like us to talk about, Ruchir?
Well, I did kind of break you off when you were talking about, you were conveying this message regarding this toy idea, so I wasn't sure if you, you know, had anything else that you wanted to say on that.
No, it's just that these sacred information bodies that, like the alchemy, the divine architect principles, the immortality principles on the ToltecNagual.com and so on, the ancient shamanism techniques, these are not in any way to be taken too lightly. Because if we want to bring heaven about on earth, where we have metamorphosed the species, where we are in a place where we manifest with intent, the beautiful perfection that is in harmony with the infinite's being, if we want to live, bring in that new tomorrow, where humanity isn't in a slave state of work and labor and supply and things that they currently are, we must honor the gifts that are given, because over the years that I've seen, they build on one another. When we were given the Aruba Farina book, Aruba Farina, the precious information from the little beings, the little fairies, and their photographs that they allowed us to take. I could feel as we were doing it that there was something missing, and that's because their magic was meant for the etheric realms, which is feminine. It's only when the masculine component was later, and it's 2 years later, added to the fairy magic. The codes were changed at that time, and the masculine became part of it, that it became potent. But for the 2 years, some of my beautiful oracles and my brothers and sisters were religiously doing those things, even though they didn't seem to work. And it's entirely due to such respect and honor for what is given that more is pulled in. So, you know, it's something that is a work in progress, but we won't pull it in as rapidly as we'd like if we don't respect and have some gratitude for what we're given.
All right. Now I see that about, I see this on Twitter actually, that about 25 minutes ago, Hong An announced to the world that astrologyofisis.com went live. So.
Oh, yippee yay! This is phenomenal. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my sister. That is such a nice present today. Here, please put that on our Twitter and say, yay, it's up. What a nice present for the day. Because
okay,
I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the Isis material, the astrology there, it sets man free from the old programming that says that the stars influence us. This new astrology allows us, and it's level one of, let me see, it had 72 levels to it. It's the way we influence life with the assistance of planetary influences. And I believe this coming week we're going to have even some more of that coming in. But we've got just, it's incredibly beautiful. So take a peek. It's up and running. And it's www.astrologyofisis.com. And it was translated right out of the Isis libraries and birthed, as usual, by that beautiful order in Ireland where most new things like Belfast Baton and other things have happened. The Irish masters are like the mother has called them, the womb of love. And most new things birth there, and it was called forth by a Slovenian astrologer, my very beautiful sister. And she's the one that requested it, and mother told her, not yet. If I give it to you now, it will change. But in November, and so in November during our Irish pod, this information was permitted to be translated out of the Irish, out of the Isis libraries, of which that Order of the Rose, the Ascended Masters in that order, are the custodians of it. So, very wonderful. Thank you so much. That makes
okay.
My day. Yeah, and
all
have
right.
Anything else?
Yes, I have a question or questions from Christy. She asks, first of all, since the old shamanism is obsolete, do the spirits and allies they work with know that it's obsolete? You know, which I thought was kind of an interesting question. And the follow-up question to that is, will these spirits and allies show the shamans the way of white magic, alchemy, divine architect, as it is now? And you know, before you answer that, I find this really interesting too, because I received these questions yesterday, and yesterday, actually since, you know, past 12, the night before, seemed to be very much in the theme, these themes of this old shamanism and witchcraft and stuff like that. So receiving these questions from her just kind of is just in an extension of that, but interesting.
Yes. And you know, it's that perfection that for me is the greatest reward of the work. It's not the miracles. And my brothers and sisters, on every one of our websites, we now have interdimensional photography, photography of miracles, and miracles written. Every one of them, if I'm not mistaken. So please share with us, because we keep adding them in there. So keep going back to them and you'll find new things and new photos. But the bottom line of it is, it's the perfection, the synchronicitous perfection, like what you're just mentioning. The wonderful master, Christy, is from the Serpent Mound Order of Ohio. And when we were in class, an ancient Native American spirit came into the class and spoke her language through Christy's mouth. And as she spoke it, I translated it, asking for a purification of the shamanic techniques for indigenous peoples because of the corruption that has taken place from the ancient pure form that came from the earth. And so this is on ancientshamanism.com, what she is referring to. Now, not necessarily is my answer to the question, will they tell them that things have changed? There's a couple of reasons why. Most traditional leaders, I lived among them for 5 years. My interviews with them is on the ancientshamanism.com, distilling out the wisdom, explaining which parts no longer serve, etc. But for 5 years I lived among them, and during that time, my brothers and sisters, the majority of indigenous leaders that I encountered were so steeped in traditions that they had boxed themselves into a set of belief systems. They weren't all like that, for sure. I have frequently mentioned that the great, wonderful grandfather Stalking Wolf, an Apache ascended master, was very instrumental in my path, and I'm most grateful to him. He walked his own way. He belonged to no man. It was led by spirit where he would go and how he would grow and what he would do. And he was a perception seeker. Many of them are power seekers. And we've given the distinction between the two. I believe it's in the book, is it in A Life of Miracles or in Journey to the Heart of God? I'm not entirely sure. You can always ask things like that from our office when you call to get a book. But we give you the very clear distinction. It's in Life of Miracles. Do you think so?
Well, I think there's also a short video up on Daily Motion about the distinction. But
that's good on Daily Motion.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's a good place to go. We would have distilled the information out for you. But when they are power seekers, they're going to work with spirits and ask spirits only certain questions. Spirits seldom volunteer information, unless you're in a receptive place like women in the Moon Lodge. But see, then, when information is received, how do you translate it? Because let's say a spirit comes through in a Moon Lodge to a woman, because the shamans or the medicine people are asking the questions that they think fit their already held belief systems, and says to her, the Holy Mother is on earth. Okay, she takes this back after the Moon Lodge, assuming they're still living in that kind of a format. She takes it back to the elders. The elders interpret it within their belief systems. And they will say, white buffalo calf woman says, the day for the indigenous people have arrived. They have a hair of the elephant's tail in their hand through their interpretation. So it does not necessarily mean that they will receive it from their spirits, because the spirits will only answer what they ask, and that they will interpret what the spirits say properly. However, Mother has decreed, as we've read in the blog recently, that the day for indigenous people hearing her voice has come. And so she is starting to give visions directly, and she said that it was mostly going to be given to the young people, because the old people thought they knew, because they had labels on them such as elders, medicine man, you know, etc. So that she was primarily going to give them to open hearts everywhere amongst the indigenous people, but she started with the North American Indians, she went to the South American Indians, and she went to Africa, and then she went to the white indigenous peoples of the earth, like Lapland, Siberia, etc. She then went into China as well, and the Orient, and the shamans there. But she's giving them visions. And their ability to hear and see has been tremendously increased and unlocked. What did I miss any part of it? We've got time for just one more question. Did I get all that Christy asked?
Yeah, I think so, although this may be too long for now, but I am sort of wondering, well, you know, I don't want to be too upsetting, but do these allies and spirits even still exist, you know? That's also seems to be a fundamental question to me.
The spirits will still exist until the spirit world empties itself out. Very good question. Then there are beings from the hidden realms, like, you know, they're constantly contacting the oracles and the masters in my classes. I have a letter from one of the oracles giving prophecy. The prophecy was, I would say, 80% incorrect. But because I thought, whoa, what's going on here? She never gives incorrect information. Why is this ally that she's getting it from giving incorrect information? I saw if the intent was good. I asked Mother. She said, no, the intent is good. What it is showing is that which is. And there were three misperceptions that the Mother had about the cosmos and about herself and life right now. And they were giving the wrong information so that those questions could arise. And I'll put them in tomorrow's blog, or if Jan posts two blogs today, they will go up today.
Okay,
so
now
maybe a quick minute more.
Well, I mean, I'm just sort of talking from personal experience, and we actually discussed this yesterday, that when I came here to the U.S., I was still sort of accompanied by a lot of Orishas, you know, African archetypal spirits or beings. And I know now, and that was sort of reconfirmed yesterday, that, you know, it's maybe not the most popular thing to say, but none of them actually exist anymore. And I really assume this goes for a lot of the ancient shamanic tradition.
Oh, you're right. So much of the holy ones we thought existed do not exist at all. It was part of the dream. And they either have changed into something else, or they were simply there for the dream. And end of story. So many. But if you have personal beings coming through to talk to you, which, you know, the students have all the time, my brothers and sisters, they still don't know what you do. You are the tip of the pyramid, and it's the cosmic pyramid. And because Mother sent me to gather the pillars of her temple, the pillars of her temple are those major suns in the sky. Do not think because someone comes in from the hidden realms that they know more than you. That's why it's so important that we find ourselves first before we start teaching information pouring in, because it's from ourselves that the highest wisdom comes. Thank you so very much for joining us today. We'll be with you again next week, and we hope to see you then. Bye-bye.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.